Section 3. Impact. Module 9. The First Responses. Key points. The theory of money and credit received its most favorable reviews on publication, including a positive response from the British economist John Maynard Keynes. Mises did not respond to criticisms of his ideas when preparing new editions in 1934 and 1953. His most important work on marginal utility was also his most widely praised and accepted contribution to the study of economics. Criticism. When it was first published in 1912, Ludwig von Mises's The Theory of Money and Credit was read mainly within the Austrian school itself, and it did not attain a truly wide readership until an expanded Yale University Press edition was published in 1953. Mises's ideas made their earliest public appearance in Eugen von Baum-Berwick's seminars at the University of Vienna, where, despite its criticism of Baum-Berwick's own arguments, the book was taught as an important set text. A rare and chivalrous review of the first German edition appeared shortly after the outbreak of the First World War in the September of 1914 issue of the Royal Economic Society's The Economic Journal. It came from the pen of the journal's editor, none other than John Maynard Keynes. Keynes and his followers would be lifelong opponents of Mises, differing over questions ranging from the nature of money to the desirability of government deficit spending during recessions. Nevertheless, Keynes' review is gentlemanly. He calls Mises' treatise the work of an acute and cultivated mind, says it is not to be denied considerable merits, and admires the breadth of the field it covers and its lucid common sense, which Keynes adds is found so much more often in Austrian than German writers. Keynes does weave criticisms into his courtly treatment of an enemy's work. The Austrian school, he says, was once of great eminence, but now losing its vitality, and its veils and shortcomings obscure the light more than they shed it. In his treatment of the value of money, says Keynes, and this presumably includes his treatment of subjective use value and marginal utility, Mises is too easily satisfied with mere criticism of imperfect theories. One senses here Keynes's desire to prize Mises further away from his teachers. His criticism of Mises as not original presumably refers to Mises's determination to work out unsolved problems left by earlier Austrian school authors such as Menger. Yet Keynes goes on to praise Mises's efforts to relate his own theory of money to the different forms of money substitutes and inflation, saying this section is, on the whole, the best. Responses. By the time that the 1934 English language edition appeared, the theory of money and credit had begun to attract a wider readership. Writing in International Affairs, British economist Alexander Thomas Kingdom Grant said that its reasoning is close and exact, though he added that it is to be regretted that Professor Mises has not taken the opportunity to bring the book up to date, noting that he had ignored the more recent work of Keynes and others. The criticism that theory of money and credit had somehow lost some of its sharp originality from 1912 grew more trenchant after the appearance of its 1953 edition. On this occasion, the economist Ralph George Hawtrey, a close associate of Keynes, argued that the book was not only behind the times, but cannot be said to have been fully up to date even in 1924. Reviewing responses to Mises' work across the decades, it is difficult to escape the view that he was at his best in the vibrant, jostling atmosphere in and surrounding the university and Fantasieckle Vienna. His thought interrogated in seminars by teachers and students who closely shared his own assumptions and who were working on related projects. Moving away from this stimulating environment, first to Geneva and then to New York, Mises seems to have gradually isolated himself and his thinking, ceasing to acknowledge the work and the ideas of his contemporaries. His subsequent work plows the furrows of his own thinking increasingly intricately and increasingly dogmatically, ignoring the spur of new challenges issuing from perspectives from which he might disagree. From this perspective, it can be argued that, despite the publication of later revised editions, the theory of money and credit was not only at its freshest, but also at its finest when it first appeared in 1912. Conflict and consensus. Most readers considered Mises' treatment of marginal utility to be the theory of money and credit's most important contribution, tweaking and refining the work of his Austrian school teachers on the subject until it shone. The most important section, Ray Leffler, an economist who taught at Dartmouth, Yale, and Michigan, called it. Interestingly, though, Keynes thought Mises' work on marginal utility to be the least original part of his treatise, seeing it as too closely based on the work of his Austrian school predecessors. Hawtrey, meanwhile, wondered if the very clear distinction over the origin of money which Mises draws between his own approach, in which it spontaneously arises, and Knapp's, where it is a legal creation of states, is not so sharp as Mises supposes. In practice, he wrote, what matters for persons receiving a medium of exchange is the knowledge they can pass it on and use it as a medium of payment. Distant arguments about how it originated in the first place, Hawtrey suggests, are not so relevant at that point. By 1954, even committed members of the Austrian school seem to think of Mises as a piece of family silver dating to an era in which tastes were different. His former pupil, Fritz Malklub, wrote from his post at Johns Hopkins University that some parts of Mises's treatise are definitely dated, and noted that even his new material shows Mises as an unreconstructed sound currency advocate. But Malklub went on to inquire whether a young student of economics would appreciate just what it was that Mises contributed to the development of that knowledge. Would such a young student have to be told, Malklub mused, that no writer before Mises had succeeded in explaining the demand for cash using the concept of marginal utility, or his contributions to the study of the business cycle? End of Section 3, Module 9. Coming up next, Section 3, Impact, Module 10, The Evolving Debate.